Our scripture reading for today is usually a scripture that's read during Lent to get ready for Passover and Easter. But I wanted to talk about this church. This church has meant a lot to me and my family as we've been coming here for a few years now. I've been feeling a little sentimental. Last week, I celebrated the 10th anniversary of my ordination. And just thinking about where I've been in those past 10 years and where I am now and how glad I am to be part of this community here. So I thought, I want to talk about what it means to be part of a community and to be in a sacred space. And I don't know if y'all knew that that's what I was preaching on today, but your song this morning was perfect because we're going to talk about this sacred space and who we are. So we're going to turn to John at the second chapter, and we're going to read verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers at their business. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all, with the sheep and the oxen, out of the temple. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. You shall not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for thy house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign have you to show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he spoke of the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, and his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. May God bless the reading and hearing of this word. Oh, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm still learning the traditions, even the ones that are printed in front of me. So, again, thank you all for letting me be with you. I enjoy preaching with y'all and spending this time in the Word. I am so glad that Michael has a chance to go to General Assembly. It's such an important part of his work with us and his ministry with us. General Assembly holds a special place in my heart. Mark and I met at General Assembly when it was in Charlotte. We joke that we met at church camp for grown-ups. When Elena was born 3 weeks after the General Assembly in Fort Worth, and so I went waddling around and I made a t-shirt that had like a chalice and then a little chalice with a little pink hat on it, and it said, "Doing my part for church growth." So so General Assembly is a special time for ministers and all people of the church to come together and be the church together and remember what we're about and to also think about what is our future going to look like. And moving forward, what are we going to do as a church? So, and of course, it's fun. They're playing, they're worshiping. So I hope Michael is having a good time there, and I appreciate that he's able to go. So today I want to talk about this church and just what it even really means to be church a little bit. When I was in high school, my minister at the time had this hobby. We all have hobbies, right, and things we collect. And the thing he collected was any items with the Last Supper. And it may be like the Da Vinci Last Supper or just an image of communion or the disciples. But he was very clear. He did not want the nice, pretty, elegant images that you might hang in the church parlor. He wanted the tackiest images that you could possibly find. And he had a pretty decent collection. I was amazed at how much there was even out there in the world. He had a clock with the 12 disciples where the numbers should be. And it had like this hologram in the middle. And if you looked one way, it was a bread and cup. And if you looked another way, it was a picture of Jesus. And I thought, that's really tacky. But the highlight of his collection was this velvet painting. And it was Da Vinci's Last Supper, but it was on velvet. And Jesus was a king, but he wasn't Jesus. He was Elvis. He's dressed with the white lamette polyester suit and the long sideburns. And I think even the disciples were dressed as different characters. Now, some people in the church thought this was horrible, that it was distasteful. They would say, you know, how can you respect Christ and respect this sacrament and then have all this junk in your office? But if you watched the man lead communion and be part of the community, you knew that communion was actually very important to him. And for him, these items were not disrespectful, they were playful. He was trying to be silly. He had, every week he would express his love for Christ and share that with us. And this was the same man who took me on mission trips when I was in high school, and I got to see how evident that was in his daily life. But he also taught me how to play and be silly in my faith. There's a difference between being playful with something that is sacred and just being downright destructive, being disrespectful, being mean-spirited or just dismissive, right? There's a difference. A velvet painting is silly, but you can still respect the holy and you can still worship God with sincerity and you can break bread in the community of God. But when the holy is forgotten, when God is ignored and people are only looking out for their own interest, not thinking about how they can share or feed the hungry, or give thanks for God's magnificent love, then we're not just talking about being tacky anymore. We're talking about being destructive. We're talking about chipping away at the kingdom of God. What is ultimately considered to be sacred, when someone takes what is sacred, the traditions and the beliefs that are valued above all else, when they are forgotten and just tossed aside, becomes a slippery slope to lose sight of God. In the Gospel of John, we are told that in preparing for Passover, Jesus went up to the temple of the Jews. Now, this was the place where people were invited to come and to celebrate the blessings of God, where they could come and pray, where they could offer up their fears and their faults. Don't we all do that in our sacred space? We come and we pray and we tell God what we're afraid of and what we've done wrong. Is where they could come to feel the presence of the Lord and to know that they were not alone in the world, that there were other believers just like them. It was truly a sacred space for the people of God. And I could go into so much more about the history of the Jewish temple and how people traveled great distances to Jerusalem, but that will take hours. But just to highlight that this was an important location in their faith, where they came into those walls to connect with God and to one another. And maybe every once in a while they could be silly and they could be playful with one another, with their friends and with their family. But when Jesus walked into that temple, he didn't find playfulness. He didn't find them being silly with their faith and delightful in their faith. He found greed. He found corruption. He found people taking advantage of one another. Now, I get that faithful followers were trying to obey the rules of worship. They needed doves and sheep and cattle for their sacrifices in the temple. But what was supposed to be an act of worship had turned into an opportunity to take advantage of those people. The selling of animals had blown out of proportion. The money changers were profiting off the people's traditions and their beliefs. And it was dirty and it was tainted, like spiritually tainted. And that was just the first problem. The second problem was that all of this buying and all of this selling and all of this taking advantage of people had moved from the streets of Jerusalem, from the curbside around the temple, into the actual space. You can imagine that the temple, which had once been a gathering place for God's people with one altar for an animal sacrifice, was now filled with animals, including their muck and their grime. Imagine the smell of all the different animals and the noise of them running around covered in dirt and who knows what else. We all know what a barn smells like and looks like. Now imagine if we took out these beautiful pews and we took them all out and we brought in the animals and we started trading and selling animals here now instead of worshiping God, instead of caring for each other. How would you feel if this sacred space became a noisy, beast-filled room where dirty money changed hands and people were more focused on making a few extra dollars and then profiting on that selling of these animals instead of connecting with God. What it must have felt like for Jesus to walk in and to see that mess. He walked into the house of God and he found his people up to their elbows in dirty business. The sacred space had been redesigned into a common marketplace where a relationship with God and the traditions of their ancestors were being used as an excuse to rip people off. Jesus was very clear that in sacred spaces, people are not used for profit. They are to be honored. Their practices are to be honored. As disciples, we have the two sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. These are especially important for our relationship with God. But there are plenty of other traditions that we honor. As Christians, as part of the disciples of Christ, as members of / Christian Church who gather in this place, we have our own traditions. They are special to us because they help us connect with God. And when we give time and attention and respect to our shared beliefs, then this space truly is sacred, and our time together is sacred. It is sacred when we uphold the traditions of prayer and of Bible study, when we sing songs of praise, and when we share our different yet abundant thoughts on any issue. I haven't sat in on any tense, difficult congregational meetings in this room, but I'm sure there have been some over the many years. And even that hard work is sacred because it's all about trying to be faithful together. This is a space where we come together as children of God and form lasting relationships based on our common beliefs. When we laugh together, cry together, sing Christmas carols together, share meals together, celebrate each other's triumphs, and mourn each other's losses. I think the first Christmas after we joined in September, October, and the first Christmas after we joined, we ended up, just by family arrangements, being at Mark's mother's house for that Christmas. And I said, I miss being with my church for the first time. And so that next Christmas, I said, we're going to stay here. We're going to be at / And that was so special for me to feel part of this family and to be part of this tradition and say, oh, this is the way my new community does Christmas. Those traditions are passed on. They are celebrated. They are ways that we all connect with God. When we each care for each other's children and for our aging parents, when we put our heads together and try to figure out our mission in the world, when we come together as a community of faith worshiping God, then this space is sacred. Perhaps more importantly, the space is sacred when we turn our attention away from these walls, when we put our heads and our hearts together to understand our mission out in the world and understand what God is calling us to do as a church. Then we are truly living into a sacred tradition. It has nothing to do with the fact that we have pews or a cross for everyone to see. This is holy ground because this is a place where our hearts and our minds are tuned into God and to each other, remembering the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and remembering how we are all tied together by the Holy Spirit. I was talking to my mom this week. She lives in Texas, and they have their VBS coming up. Now, as far back as I can remember, my mom has been in charge of crafts at VBS. And she's moved churches from Austin to Dallas, and now she's living out in the lake, but she always is in charge of crafts. I'm not sure how she manages this, but she is always in charge of that. But here's the thing. For years, I've listened to her complain about the crafts. There's glitter and there's glue gun and there's little kids. It is just not her spiritual gift, right? But she does it every year. So when she said, yeah, we've got VBS coming up next week, I was like, all right, let's hear the complaining. What craft are you going to do? What materials do you not want to have to work with? But in this year, instead of doing crafts, my mom is the storyteller. And I thought, that's interesting. Knowing my mom like I do, I thought she would enjoy the storytelling even more or even less than she would enjoy the crafts. So I asked her, what happened? How are you not doing crafts anymore? And she said they're just not doing crafts as part of their VBS this year. So she had to look for a different job and do something else. And first of all, I thought, well, that's interesting, a VBS without crafts. That was always my favorite part. But I liked the glitter and the glue and the mess, but I'm a little biased. So I listened to her complain about being a storyteller. The subject was different, but the complaints were the same. So I asked her at one point, I said, Mom, you complain about this, but you've been doing VBS for 40 years. Why do you keep doing it when you complain about it? Now, I will say my mom, her spiritual gift is more tends to be towards the business of the church. She loves being the chairman of the board. She loves being the treasurer. Right now, she oversees a thrift shop that they have in town, and she has employees on the payroll. She loves doing all of that stuff. So I said, why do you do all of this other stuff that you don't particularly enjoy? My mom was silent for a second. She just said, with that tone of voice that was like, it's obvious, and why did you even ask me that question? She said, because it has to happen. Like, duh, like VBS has to happen. And so I realized, well, I guess I remembered something I already knew about my mom, is that she's always, whatever church community she's in, she's dedicated to the ministry. And if the community she's in says, we want to teach our children about Christ, and that may involve glitter and glue guns, my mom will show up. I'll say, all right, give me the glitter and glue guns because this has to happen. It's an important ministry. The kids are important. Sacred spaces are important because of the work of the people. Not always the stuff we get to do with a glad heart, but the stuff we do because we know it's important, because it matters, because God needs us to work for each other and to tell each other and to care for each other, not because it's easy or fun, but because the work matters, but because the message matters and it needs to be shared. Now, obviously, this does not just happen at church. Churches do not have a monopoly on sacred space. Some of the most spiritual moments in my life have been in hospital rooms, in people's homes, in tents at the Relay for Life, as I'm handed food by strangers. It is not the physical location that makes a sacred space. It is the things we do together within this space that makes it sacred. After Jesus drove out the sheep and the cattle and the doves and the money changers, he said to the Jews, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In their confusion, the Jews questioned him, and we are told that Jesus was actually speaking about his body. He was predicting his own death and his own resurrection. But Jesus was making another important point. By referring to his body as a temple, he was telling the Jews that this is something to be honored, something that will help you encounter God, something sacred. And now, 2,000 years later, we refer to our collective selves as the body of Christ. We have committed ourselves to being a community of believers and followers, and in doing so, we have become that temple. As the body of Christ, we are called to honor each other, honor God, and to remember the sacrifice of Christ. As a collective whole, we are now the holy space where people can come to see God, to know that they are loved, to know that there is grace, they are forgiven. As the body of Christ, the risen Christ, we are now the temple where good news is shared with the world. We are responsible for being as strong as the clay bricks and as sturdy as wood beams so that no amount of evil force can tear us down. We are called to be as soft as the pew cushions so that people from all over can come and find rest with us. We are the body of Christ. We are the sacred temple. And we may be playful at times. We may even be downright tacky at times. But let's not be destructive. Let's honor God by honoring each other, honoring this thing that God has created in the joining of our spirits. I know this is something we know how to do. Amen.